and its producer, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
We are honored to bring you one of today's most talented actresses, Miss Sarah Churchill, starring in one of yesterday's most chilling tales, The Signalman, by Charles Dickens. More often than not, a classic suffers in transition from one medium to another. The transcribed play you are about to hear is an exception to this generality. The late great writer-director Irving Reese, in his adaptation, has given a dimension to the story that the late great Charles Dickens never imagined. We suggest that you might find it interesting to read the Dickens story after listening to this, the re-dramatization of The Signalman, starring Miss Sarah Churchill, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Like a wounded monster screaming in pain, and disappeared into the dark tunnel. In those brief seconds, I'd relived the emotions of my childhood. I still trembled with the child's terror and fascination that had surged through me the many times I stood here 20 years before. Nothing had changed. The steep, dripping wet walls of jagged stone that led down to the track, the gloomy mouth of a tunnel, the small signalman's shack huddled against the side of the cutting. Even the job was held by the same man they had told me in the village. He stood there, in the glow of an angry sunset, burning a signal flag around a short pole. I called to him. Hello! Below! Instead of looking up at me, he turned tensely to stare toward a red signal light that glowed at the mouth of the tunnel. Hello, below there! He finally turned, slowly it seemed to me, even fearfully, and looked up. He stared at me unanswering. I was afraid the suddenness of my call had unnerved him. I tried to compensate by being overly casual. Hello! I would like to speak to you. Is that a path I can use to come down? He stared silently a while longer, then finally pointed his flag to a spot in the cutting embankment. It was a zigzag path with small footholds cut through the clammy stone. A track seemed a mile below, but I was determined to get down. Midway, I sensed a vague vibration of earth and air, like a sound that could be felt but not heard. I tried to fight down a fear that suddenly gripped me. The air was filled with a violent pulsation. It seemed to have a force that could draw me down. I suddenly threw my hands up to my eyes as though to shut out some terrible sight. And then I flattened myself against the jagged rock and clutched her. Then I was angry with myself, ashamed of this uncontrolled childish reaction. I could see the signalman still staring at me. I climbed down the rest of the way quickly and carelessly, and I walked towards him with a casual smile. He watched me expectantly. Hello. I'm Amy Sayre. I used to live in the village. I was anxious to speak to you. I'm sorry if I startled you when I called down.
Why did you use those words?
Those words? I hardly remember. I think I shouted, hello, below there, or something to that effect.
Not to that effect, miss. Those were the very words. I know them well. Admit those were the words.
All right. I admit.
Why did you use them?
Well, you were below. I wanted to attract your attention, so I called, "Hello, below there." Seems logical, doesn't it?
Aye, miss. If you had no other reason.
Well, what other reason could I possibly have?
I thought you would tell me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have come down. I think I've frightened you.
Now, why would you think that, miss?
Well, you stare at me as though you had a dread of me.
Sorry, miss. I was doubtful whether I'd seen you before.
Well, if you have, it was when I was 8 years old, standing on that bridge over the tunnel up there. I used to love watching the train. This is my first visit back in 20 years. You don't believe me.
I'm not certain.
Where could you have seen me?
Don't you know?
Since I've been away for 20 years, I...
Up there, by the red signal light at the mouth of the tunnel.
That's why you turned and stared there when I first called.
Aye.
What would I be doing up at the signal light?
I don't know. I wish I... No, it's a mistake, miss. I haven't been well. What is it you wish to speak to me about?
Well, I'm a writer. I wanted to interview you.
Me? Why, miss?
Well, my magazine does a weekly biographical piece on interesting people and unusual occupations. It's called Close Up.
Aye, miss. I've read them.
You have?
You seem surprised.
Well, I'm pleased, perhaps.
Well, it wasn't so unsophisticated as
I really didn't mean that.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of a fire in my shack. It'd be more comfortable for you there. Won't you come in?
Yes, thank you. My, this is a lonely post. Visitors must be rare.
Aye, miss. The branch superintendent makes an annual inspection. Yeah, and that's all. Except for...
Yes?
Come in, please.
Oh, how snug and comfortable.
Aye. Most of my waking life is spent here. I've tried to make it pleasant.
And you've succeeded. You were speaking of visitors, just as we came in.
I'll put this chair near the fireplace. One chilled out there.
I say, you have a fine collection of books.
Aye. They've given me much companionship in the long nights.
Pretty weighty companion. Gibbon's Decline and Fall, Burton's Anatomy of Melancholy, Darwin's...
Did they surprise you again, miss?
May I be frank? I'll have to be if I'm to succeed with the articles. My editor is only interested in...
Odd?
Well, the unusual.
And the level of my reading seems above the level of my station.
Not many people in any station these days...
Oh, come now, miss. Would you call for frankness?
All right. Why would a man with a mind capable of absorbing these subjects stay on a desolate job like this?
Well, you see, when I was a young man, I became very interested in the natural philosophies. I set my course, I studied hard, planned the future. And then I ran wild, miss. I misused my opportunities. They went down, and I've never risen again. I've no complaint. I've made my bed. It's too late to make another.
Maybe you gave up too soon.
No, miss, no. There are forces beyond us that shape us. One must know when not to resist, miss. I might have bloodied myself a while longer, but I knew. I took this position 34 years ago.
And you've never regretted?
Oh, no. Not until...
Until what? Won't you please tell me?
You first tell me what brought you here.
But I have.
Well, you said nothing of what made you think of this place specifically. There are many places and people.
Well, I told you. I used to come here as a child. The train frightened and fascinated me. I've always remembered it vividly through the years. I promised myself that one day I would come back and do a story on it. Good subjects aren't easy to find for me.
Why did you choose just now to come?
These ideas germinate in a writer's mind for a while and then an impulse.
And you were drawn here.
You say that as though mystic forces were involved. It was much simpler, I assure you. I've been working hard. I decided that a few days in the country would do me good. I planned to use them profitably by doing a story on you.
But you might have come to that decision last month or last year.
Well, that's true, but I can't see why you attach such special significance to the fact that I...
Why? Why did they frighten you so?
Wouldn't you think I might outgrow that silly, childish fear? If I was drawn here, as you say, I guess it was to see whether I had. The modern psychiatrist would say it was a desire to relive a childhood experience.
Aye, miss. There are many answers. Philosophers have even speculated on the possibility that the future can intrude on the memory as well as the past.
But surely you don't believe that.
I believe only in the evidence of my five senses.
May I ask, why did you go to the door?
To check the tunnel light.
But does it need to be checked so often? You did before we came in. Why are you staring at me so?
Was I staring at you?
Please, something is preying on your mind. Can't you tell me?
The fire needs staring.
You're avoiding my question.
There's nothing here, miss. Your coming was a mistake. An old man in a railroad tunnel, it would require considerable imagination to make an interesting story of that.
What exactly are your duties?
Oh, they're responsibilities more than actual work, miss. Exactness and watchfulness are required most. Seeing that the signals operate, turning the switching handle now and then, listening to the telegraph ticker to see if the post is wanted, not much else.
Do the hours weigh heavily through the night?
It's very difficult to impart, miss. It's very difficult to speak of. Now, if you ever make another trip, I'll try to tell you.
Yes, of course. And I will have to make several trips before the story takes shape. When may I come again, tomorrow?
Ah, miss, if you wish.
The next night, as the distant clocks were striking nine. The signalman waited for me at the bottom of the cutting with his white light shining. We walked silently to his shack, and I didn't sat down by the fire. I didn't wish to press him, so I said nothing. He stared at the burning embers for a moment, and then turned to me.
I'm going to tell you, miss, as best I can, what troubles me.
I'm glad.
I mistook you for someone else last night. That troubles me.
The mistake?
The someone else.
Who is it, then?
I don't know.
Well, what does it do?
Well, this time it stands with its left arm across its face. The right arm is waved violently this way. As though to say, for God's sake, clear the way. Clear the way.
You've heard those words?
Oh, I'm not certain, not about those specific words, but I have heard it called before.
When?
Well, one moonlight night about a year ago, I was sitting here when I heard a voice cry, "Hello! Hello there!"
That's why you were startled when I used the word.
Aye, miss. Well, I ran to the door and I looked out and I saw this someone else standing up there by the red light near the tunnel, waving its arm as I just showed you. The voice was hoarse with shouting and it cried, "Hello! Below there! Look out! Look out!" I caught up my lamp and I ran towards the figure calling, "What's wrong? What has happened? Where?" And when I got to the light, it was gone.
Did you see where?
Well, the tunnel was the only place it could go without passing me. Oh, I ran into the tunnel, 100 yards or so, and I searched around with my light. Then I ran back here and I telegraphed both ways. An alarm has been given. Is anything wrong? And the answer came back both ways. All's well.
Of course. Now, I'm going to take advantage of last night's permission to be frank. You've been here more than 30 years, haven't you?
Huh?
It isn't the most cheerful place in the world, with that moaning wind through the tunnel and the wild harp it makes of the telegraph wires. It's understandable that you could have the illusion you've heard a call. And anyone staring at the dark long enough as you did from the door could imagine seeing something. You've let it prey on your mind so long... It seems real.
Well, I was not... was not finished, miss.
I'm sorry.
Within 6 hours after it first appeared, the main line flyer crashed and derailed at the far end of the tunnel. And within 10 hours, the dead and the wounded were being brought through the tunnel over to the spot where the figure stood.
Coincidence. A tragic, remarkable coincidence. But don't you see that...
There is more, miss.
Please forgive me.
6 or 7 months passed, and I've recovered from the surprise and shock when, one morning, just as daylight was breaking, I looked toward the red light, and I saw it again.
Did it cry out?
No, it was silent.
It didn't wave its arm?
No, miss. No, it leaned against the post with both hands covering the eyes like this, as though to block out some terrible sight.
That's why you asked me why I had put my hands to my eyes as I came down the path.
Why, miss, you called out the words it used the first time, and you covered your eyes as it did the second time.
Go on, please.
Well, that very day, as the train came out of the tunnel, I noticed a confusion of hands and heads at one of the coach platforms. And something waved. I saw it in time to flag down the engineer. He applied his brakes, but the train drifted past here, about 100 yards. As I ran up to it, I heard terrible screams and cries. A beautiful young woman had fallen between the cars, and she was brought in here. She died on this very spot between them.
How horrible. But I still don't see...
One final word, miss, and you'll judge how my mind is troubled. It came back a week ago. And ever since, it's been there.
At the light?
Aye. It covers its eyes. It waves its arm. It shouts, "For God's sake, clear the way! Clear the way!" I've no rest or peace for it. It caused me many minutes together in an agonized manner. Below there, look out! Look out! It stands waving at me. The telegraph ticker.
Did it sound the ticker last night while I was here?
Twice.
I assure you it was your imagination. The ticker did not sound last night.
No, I've never made a mistake after that, miss. I don't wonder that you failed to hear it, but I heard it.
You hear it now?
Aye.
What is it saying?
It isn't clear.
I can help you, but you must face realistically what I have to say. Will you try?
I'll try, miss.
These accidents have shaken you deeply. You feel guilt about them, even though there was nothing you could do. You let it prey on your mind until you imagine someone tried to warn you.
I saw and heard that someone...
Even the senses can deceive when the mind is under stress. Men dying of thirst on the desert. Imagine lakes and hear running streams.
Oh, miss, the bodies of the dead were real enough.
I'm speaking of what you imagined after the accident. If you let me, I'll prove to you... Step by step, but the specter existed only in your fantasy.
Well, how can you prove that in the face of what I've just told you?
By appealing to the intelligent, reasoning portion of your mind. Listen, you were positive when you first saw me that I was the specter that you saw at the light, weren't you?
You used the same words.
Well, now listen carefully. I appeal to the intelligent, well-read, reasonable man. 3 words. Hello below there. I was more than 100 feet away at the top of the embankment, and you were here below with darkness falling. And 3 words made you positive you had seen me before. Can't you see you were trying to fit something to what you already believed?
But then you put your hands to your eyes.
Where the proof? You have allowed yourself to believe some disaster is about to befall. When I covered my eyes because of a childish fear, you fitted that to what you already believed.
Oh, no, the telegraph ticker.
You must hear me out. Would you at any other time, or would anyone at any time, believe that a telegraph ticker could sound in a room this small and be heard by one person and not the other?
But I told
you. Now, the most important proof. You said that when you went to the door last night, it was there by the red danger light.
Aye, it was.
Will you come to the door with me now and tell me if it is still there? Well... Do you see it?
No. No, miss. It's not there.
And I'm going to prove to you that it never was there. I studied the light from the top of the hill before I came down tonight. The post is at least 7 feet high. The light is shielded with a hood. Even if a person stood directly under it or in front of it, they would be in complete shadow, in darkness. You couldn't see that person from this door, and you couldn't see that person if you walked within a few yards of her, or him, or it. I'm going to walk up the incline now to the light. and prove it to you. I walked up the inclining track toward the red light at the mouth of the tunnel. Chill, dank wind had an edge like a cold knife. When I got to the light post, I stood directly under it. No portion of the red glow reached me. I was lost, completely in the dark. I saw the sickle man silhouetted in the yellow light of the doorway. Hello? Can you see me? Hello, below there. Can you see me?
No.
Good. Now start walking toward me and tell me when you can see me. He stepped between the rails of the northbound track on a line with the red signal light and walked toward me. Suddenly, the icy hand of my childhood dread gripped me. There was a vague vibration of the earth and air. Far behind him, coming up the grade fast, I could begin to see the glow of the locomotive's light. Look out! Look out! For God's sake, clear the way! Clear the way! He walked as though in a spell. He didn't hear me, or he wouldn't hear me. I was rooted to the gravel. I threw my left arm up to my eyes and waved my right arm frantically. Below there! Look out! After it was over, they found me, still standing there, both of my hands up to my eyes, to shut out the terrible sight.
Churchill starred in Irving Reese's adaptation of Charles Dickens' story, The Signalman.